Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was raised in a tradition where we didn't know much of the liturgical year. I knew nothing about Lent except that my classmates came in on Ash Wednesday with smudges on their heads. That's about all I knew about Lent. I didn't know anything about Advent or Epiphany. There were three great holidays that I knew something about. And of course, that was Christmas and Easter and the day of Pentecost. In my tradition, Pentecost was celebrated, and it was not celebrated as quietly as we Moravians celebrate it. In fact, on Pentecost Sunday, I didn't know that Pentecost was a Jewish feast. I didn't know that it was a harvest festival, but I did know that the Spirit came in great power on that day. And the people of my church wanted to rekindle that kind of power. So we sang songs like, "Revive us again, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above." Or the old time power, "Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal fire, the floodgates of heaven on us throw open wide." And the pastor would expound on at the book of Acts, and he would talk about the fire and the shaking, and would ask that that kind of fire, that kind of zeal would come on the church again. And I remember that if we didn't feel the fire sufficiently, other things were done in the service that would make that happen. One time there was even a Jericho march around the church, and as a young person I watched with fascination as people walked around the church. But every time I left those kinds of services, I felt kind of empty because I didn't see the flames. And I heard a lot of noise, but I didn't see much of the Spirit. Now, there were times that I left feeling relieved because they would also talk about the day of the Lord and Jesus coming again. And what if it would happen on the day of Pentecost? And I'm thinking, oh, not today. I have a lot of goals in life. I didn't want to see it today. The day of Pentecost. People all over the world are celebrating today, and some are asking for that same fire. And sometimes I wonder why it doesn't happen. And over the years, I've thought about the fire. I've thought about the wind. I thought about the commotion that day. And I realized that the fire and the wind and the commotion was the attention getter. But something else happened that day, which was vitally important. You see, the Spirit is very economical. The Spirit came when there was a great festival so everyone would see what was happening. They didn't wait till it was a quiet little church somewhere where everybody would feel the Spirit and then nothing else would happen. And the Spirit is economical in the sense that God's Spirit is not going to come on people who just want the experience. If you just want the experience of God's Spirit, if you want to feel good inside, that's not enough. The people who get the Spirit of God, the animating presence of God, are the ones who will take responsibility for it and spread the Spirit of God around wherever they see need. What happened that day? The minute people gathered and said, "Oh, these people are nuts. What is happening with this group of people?" Peter sprung up and he preached the first sermon. And he talked about the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord was the day that the people of Israel felt would come to establish the kingdom. The people of Israel had long given up hope on kings and princes coming to help them out. They knew they were a small nation state, and if they were ever going to reign in glory, that they would need a supernatural event. And that supernatural event was the day of the Lord. And Peter sprung up and said, "The day of the Lord is here. It's Jesus coming and breaking into history." It is the power of Christ to change and to heal and restore. 3,000 people came in that day, and those disciples didn't say, well, gee, that's great. Have a nice day. We gained 3,000 people. We're ready to go home. If you read the book of Acts, they got these folks together. They took care of them each and every day, not only spiritually, but in every way. They fed the widows. There was no poverty in the group. They became a community, and those people who were filled with the Spirit of God were the people who took responsibility for the souls that God had given them. If we want the animating Spirit of God, then we need to take responsibility for each other. Corinthians writes it this way. He talks about all the wonderful gifts of the Spirit, and he says, all are activated by one Spirit. Each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not so I can go around and say, oh, God's given me so many wonderful gifts. For the common good. So when we walk out of this building and we remember that there are people in Scand that are lonely and that are hurting and wonder what their future is like, we don't go past the building, we go in it. Those are the people who are filled with the Spirit of God. When we pass by the food pantries, we don't say, well, that's a great gift, but we stock the food pantries. Those are the people who are filled with the Spirit of God. When someone in this church is hurting, and we know it, we don't wonder where they are in church. We call them up on the phone. Those are the people who are filled with the Spirit of God. I had a lady in my last church who was so filled with the Spirit of God that she could see who was hurting and who was not in church. And so after church, she'd make a beeline for that person. Now, that could be a little disconcerting. But she'd wait. Everybody was in fellowship, and she would sit and talk with that person. And I'd have a cup of coffee in hand and some kind of donut. And mid-chew, she would call on me and say, Pastor, come in here. And I'd have to leave what I had behind, go in there, and we'd have prayer for that one. That person was filled with the Spirit of God. She had a spirit of discernment. She could tell when somebody was in need. And she used that gift. That's why the Spirit gives us gifts, so that they can be used for the common good. I saw a wonderful and awful item on the news the other day. It was about the heroin epidemic. And in some cities, the scourge of heroin is just destroying the cities. And they were talking about the city of Philadelphia. There's a library. And around, surrounding that library is a park. And the maintenance people come every day, and they said they pick up 50 needles a day from that park. People are openly dealing with heroin in the park. Now, there's a librarian there who is a lovely lady. Librarians are people who impart knowledge. She has programs in her library, but she saw this going on outside of her library. Now, I'm sure at first she called the police, and they'd call an ambulance when they'd see somebody in trouble, but it wasn't enough, and people were dying on her doorstep. And she said there are young people walking into that library that this has become normal for them to see this horror. So she took matters into her own hands, and she trained in how to administer Narcan. So far, she has saved 6 lives right outside her library. And when somebody's yelling for help, she rushes to that person and brings life to that person. And she said, maybe when they get a second chance, they'll be able to be healed. That's someone who is filled with the Spirit of God. We don't have to go to Philadelphia to find trouble. Right here in Ephraim, there are people who need to know that God broke through in history, that Jesus, the Son of God, loves us so tremendously and gives us new life and new hope each and every day. And we can be filled with the Spirit of God and speak to that one. When we come to our communion service, may our prayer be, Lord, I want your Spirit not for me, but for somebody who I'm going to meet tomorrow, who needs to hear the message of a God who loves them, of hope, of peace, of grace. Let us pray. Lord, I am so grateful for your Spirit that has been poured out on us. I am so grateful for the tremendous distraction that day that caught people's attention. But I am also grateful for the still small voice which speaks to us each and every day. And I ask that that still small voice would speak to your people here. In Jesus' name, amen.